So good morning, everybody. Good morning. And thank you, Pete. Yeah, I my real heart this morning goes out to leaving church this morning with a different perspective on circumstances and situations that we've all encountered. That's my heart. That we leave here differently. That just as those wise men who came all the way following a star to meet with the King of Kings, who journeyed to bring gifts to lay at the feet of Jesus, because they knew that by encountering the risen King, Jesus, God, who had come to earth, they would leave differently. They would leave with a different perspective on life. And I always loved that story about the three wise men, because actually there's a real message of leaving and going home a different way, going away from Jesus with a different attitude, a different perspective on life. And so that is really my hope, that through the words that I speak this morning, that we leave here differently, different people with different perspectives on life. Thank you to Josh and the rest of the team for leading us in worship this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's, again, a takeaway for us this morning, folks. What Josh started this morning with is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And today we have an opportunity to be free, to leave with a sense of freedom upon our lives. So, as Pete has already introduced, I'm James Hodges, and I'm one of the elders of the church here, and it's a real privilege to be able to bring God's word to you. And I welcome, too, visitors. If you're first time here, it's great to have you as part of the Towyn Baptist Church family for today. Take our greetings back to your churches at home. Pete has already said that we've been journeying and on an opportunity and a series to explore and unpack the great mystery that surrounds Joseph, and to look at Joseph's story from a very different position, which relates to overcoming situations, overcoming circumstances, overcoming real life problems. And as I wrap this series up today, I kind of, as I've been journeying with the rest of the church in this series, I have to say, I'm kind of in awe of Joseph. He is more than just a West End musical, folks. He's more than just his Technicolor dream coat. This guy is a real reflection of someone who had an absolute trust in God's purpose for his life. And today, we all have a purpose for our lives, and I believe that that is something that we can connect with Joseph as he journeyed from a 17-year-old to a 30-year-old, and all those experiences between that moment where God, through a dream, gave him his purpose, to the moment that he stepped into his purpose. Today, folks, we have the same God as Joseph, and we all have a purpose for our lives. As we have heard over the last few weeks, Joseph overcame lots of things. Just to name a few: hatred, sibling rivalry, slavery, false accusations, prison. Then, to cap it all, he was then forgotten in prison. So that All this happened so that God could maneuver Joseph into a position which resulted in a family being saved and blessed by God. So today I'm going to talk about overcoming bitterness. And I'm going to start with a moment in Joseph's life where he should have revealed that bitterness. But this is the story of someone who overcame bitterness because he had an absolute belief and faith in God's purpose for his life. So I'm going to read from Genesis 45, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 8. So I just want you to picture this. We've seen through the whole sort of story of Joseph, hatred, imprisonment, false accusations, being forgotten about, people letting him down, close people being letting him down. I kind of think that there's a lot of bitterness I'd be harbouring towards these people. But let's just see what Joseph says about it. So in chapter 45, this is how Joseph responds from a point of view that should be full of bitterness. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near him. Then they said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harrowing. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all this house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Wow. How about that, folks, for dealing with a bitterness situation? Okay? Love, grace, compassion. The real character of God outpouring to people who were absolutely petrified of that situation in that moment. So that's a response to bitterness. That's an example, a character that we can get from Joseph. But to unpack a bit more of what this story and this sermon title is about, I thought it would be really important to get into some of the detail about what bitterness is and the harm it can create. As we talk about overcoming bitterness today, I thought it would be useful to understand what the dictionary definition says. The dictionary defines bitterness in a couple of ways. So there's that immediate taste of bitterness, which we get from a lemon or something sour. Sharpness of taste, lack of sweetness, acidity, pungency, acridity, tartness, sourness. Then there's the description of it, what it means to us maybe in a situation. Anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Resentment. Resentfulness, dissatisfaction. Folks, these are not pleasant words. And even as I speak them, it creates a feelings of being knotted in my stomach, a tightening of my jaw, and sort of my shoulders are getting really sort of tense. For me, bitterness is like having the goodness of life taken away. Hope and expectation of life are being taken from me. And folks, today we need to leave this church with knowing that that is not what God wants for our lives. Is that an amen? God does not want us to leave here with that feeling. As I get a picture, as I was preparing, I got a picture of what bitterness and the challenge of bitterness presents. To me, it was like a massive brick wall. You know, similar to, I don't know if you can picture it, the Berlin Wall when it was up back in the late, you know, from the 60s through to the late 80s. Something that we cannot get over. Because we don't have the resources, personal resources, to do this alone. Something so high that you're exhausted by trying and trying to get over this alone. And fed up because you've constantly failed about it. But also I felt that God was giving me another picture. And bitterness can also be like a warm, cozy blanket. Something that's secure, it's comfortable to go back to. It's familiar feelings that we can hide behind because actually it's more comfortable to be in that place. And folks, as a personal thing, 16 years of my life, because someone did something wrong to me, 16 years of my personal life I spent holding on to that cozy blanket until God decided, I released myself to God and I said, I cannot hold on to this anymore. Come and deal with it. And God did. Amen? I don't know about those pictures, but they certainly rang a bell with me. And I'm looking around and there's a few folks nodding. I imagine they ring a few bells. As we have a clear picture of what and a sense and the words that are associated to bitterness, I want us to now focus on the context of Joseph and how someone, as we've already heard and read in the Bible, in the context of Joseph, he had a huge amount of things to be bitter about. Dumped by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, accused for something that he didn't do, left in prison. What did Joseph do to overcome bitterness so that, as I read in that scripture this morning, when he met the people who dumped him, the closest people, his brothers, that he didn't harbour any bitterness? All he presented was God's character of grace, love, forgiveness, and welcome. As we have heard, read, and studied through this series, Joseph had loads of things to be bitter with. In some respects, those things that Joseph had, and you compare it to situations that we've all encountered, you know, passed over for promotion, even the simplest things can cause bitterness. Being ignored in the shopping queue, taking offence about something that someone said, someone expressing dissatisfaction about something that you did. I have to say that when I reflect upon those situations in my own life, these are all pretty insignificant compared to the example that Joseph presents. Friends, please understand that I am not cheapening the hurts that any of us may have experienced. Far from it. Today is a day about stepping forward and away from that sense. But hurts and those moments where someone might have said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, on scales of varying magnitude, leave us stuck in feelings of bitterness, resentment, and dissatisfaction. We use this example of Joseph, and I praise God that we have the Bible. Joseph didn't have it. He had a dream to cling on to. We've got this to cling on to get us through situations. We've got this place. We've got each other to get through those situations. What I'm using the story of Joseph here is to shine a light onto the root cause of our bitterness. And through his example of staying steadfast to God, believing in his purpose, we can be released. We can overcome and be released into that life that Jesus talks about in John 10, verse 10. So here's a couple of tips, hints and tips. How did Joseph overcome? Well, initially, he heard from God. Okay? He heard from God. I believe that each one of us, if we are a born-again believer, or if we're still on that journey of understanding who Jesus is in our lives, we are hearing from God. We can hear from God through the songs that were sung this morning. The peace and the way the worship team, which was led by Josh, created this sense of peace in our lives. And if there's one thing that, you know, I'm going to take away from this morning, personally from worship, was peace. What can peace bring into those situations that could quite lead me down a route of harboring anger, frustration, and disappointment? God wants to bring peace into those. So that's us hearing from God. We might not have a dream like Joseph had of stars bowing down to someone. We might not have a dream of sheaves of corn bowing down to someone. God speaks to us in very, very different ways. And I'd encourage you, if you're a regular here and you live in this part of the world, or you're just passing through on holiday, look at the majesty of the creation that God has given us and draw upon that God's purpose for your life. Look around you, speak to people, and let God speak this week through what you have around us in those conversations, because God will speak. God will speak. Joseph had a complete trust in God, regardless of what happened. And one of the key things that I was really conscious of in the sermons that we've heard was a phrase which was used a couple of times. And the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 2. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. Genesis 39, 21. That Lord, that God that is written in Genesis about Joseph, is not mutually exclusive to Joseph. He's mine. He's mine. And listen, I'll let you into a little bit of a secret here, folks. On Monday of this week, just gone, I was in Buckingham Palace. I was. How about that? I was in Buckingham Palace. Oh, well, I was expecting a bit more of a... Okay, I'll throw that one in again. I was in Buckingham Palace. Thank you, yes. Excellent, good man. You were expecting not to be here. I was in Buckingham Palace. How about that? A man talking here was in Buckingham Palace. I was amazed. I was wandering around these rooms where kings, queens, presidents from years gone by have walked. And there was me, a son of the God, living God, bringing a bit of Jesus into those conversations with business leaders, educators of the UK. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So I just want to just, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just thought I'd throw it in. But when you talk about God being with, the Lord being with Joseph, God is with us. And he is the same God. Whether I'm James Hodges in Buckingham Palace last week, or James Hodges tomorrow having to welcome 80-odd apprentices off a bus and hopefully not having to drag them into the sea in Abu Dhabi. That's just that God is with us. And wherever we are, God will bless us. And God will bring a blessing to others because he's working through us. But in order to do that, God has to do some work in our lives. And like I say, folks, I'm talking about bitterness from 16 years of personal hurt that limited my life. Because I wasn't able to release, get rid of that cozy blanket. Moving back to Joseph. Joseph lived with, I've got to get back on course here. Hold on a minute. Right. Joseph lived a God-dependent life. And he lived it in the midst of great adversity. He knew his future rested in the hands of God. And you know, his dependence on God is incredible. You know, that's a kind of a massive message to us all. Can we say the same as Joseph? That God was with us, is with us, right now, tomorrow, wherever we might find. The Lord is with us in those circumstances, in that situation. I'd encourage you to hold on to that. So as a point of overcoming in the story of Joseph, recognize that you have a purpose. Ask him. If you're not sure, what is it, God? What is it? Well, I tell you what, God will answer you because he wants to reveal the mysteries of life. We're his plan to get the message out there, folks. And he'll only be able to do that if we ask him, we know it, and then we can get rid of all that garbage and rubbish that's holding us back. And I'm not cheapening your situation. Believe me, I am not. But I'm also urging you to take a step forward into something that's dynamic, new, fresh, and exciting. Look at Joseph. Imagine if he just held on to being bitterness. He'd have spent a life rotting in a prison and may never have stepped into his destiny of saving a nation and blessing his family. So why is it important to overcome bitterness? Well, there's a couple of things. It's really bad for your health. It's really bad for your mental health. And it's really bad for your personal relationships. I'm just going to share a couple of stories here about what happens if you allow. One is a story about allowing bitterness to take root. And another is a story about forgiveness. And I hope that as I read through these stories, you'll recognize how important it is to your health, your emotions, and your relationships. Story number one. Jenny was 92 years old when she died. However, for 50 years, and this is a story I've taken from somewhere, for the 50 years I knew Jenny, she told the story over and over and over again. About the time her sister would not give her money, the money she needed for a pair of shoes. Her details made it seem like the offence had happened just yesterday. But she retold the story so many times, it was like she'd memorised it and memorised every little detail. One message came through loud and clear. She would never forgive her sister for withholding that money from her. Like a magnet, the story pulled her back into all the hurt and injustice. That's a tragic story of someone holding on to something for the whole of their life. I'm just going to move on to another story. And this is a story as I read it. In the height of the troubles in Northern Ireland, the wife of an RUC police officer was saying goodbye to her husband. As she watched him walk towards the car on the driveway, two men with balaclavas ran up to her husband and shot him dead. In an interview that followed the event, the wife said, "I knew as I stood on that doorstep and watched in horror what was happening, I had a moment in time to make a choice. A choice that would change the course and direction of my life. The choices I had were to hold on to the anger towards the two men who had killed my husband, and the disappointment of watching the love of my life die in front of me, and be stuck in that moment. Or I could choose to forgive them. I could choose to forgive them, and I could choose to forgive my husband for the job that he did. I knew that if I forgave, I could live. She chose to forgive. Friends, two different stories and two different outcomes. From our own experiences, bitterness equals loss, unhappiness, limitations, and in circumstances, lots of circumstances, can result in ill health. Medical studies have shown that bitterness can bring anger, resentment into every relationship and new experience. It will make you so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. It will cause depression and anxiety, feelings that your life lacks meaning and purpose, and it will bring you into odds with your spiritual beliefs. It will result in the loss of valuable and enriching relationships with others. As we see in those two stories and in the stories of Joseph, he didn't allow that. In that story that I've just read about the policeman's wife, she chose differently. We also have that choice. God has given us choice. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Medical studies have shown that by forgiving, and I'm talking from a medical perspective here. I'm not a medical man, but I just read this because I know that depression can bring you down and cause all sorts of physical illness. So we've seen that holding on to it is not good for our health, our emotional health, and our relationships. However, by forgiving and letting go, we can have, and this is medical research has shown, healthier relationships, a greater spiritual connection, less anxiety, stress, and hostility towards others, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and higher self-esteem. And those are really good things for us to be focusing on from a purely and simply from a physical point of view. The story of Joseph gives us many comparisons to another person's life. And that is the life of Jesus. Jesus, our Saviour, who hung himself on the cross, overcame temptation, had bitterness, resentment, disappointment thrown at him. Jesus is an example also for us to understand what and how forgiveness needs to be applied so that we can deliver God's master plan. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life, as he talks about in John 10, verse 10. It needs now to get us to dust our feet off a bit. We can do it. We can do it with the help of God, by God allowing God to come in and pick up the pieces of our lives and take us forward. So at the very beginning, I talked about bitterness being like a brick wall, something so high that by ourselves, we're never going to get over it. Just because we don't have the resources, the physical resources, the emotional resources to do this. And we're probably quite exhausted. We probably don't have enough energy to get over it by ourselves. I mentioned and I asked, did that ring a bell with anybody? There were some nods. But the good news is that we do not need to do this alone. Just like Joseph, God is with us too. So as I wrap up this series and we start to look at the process of moving on to the new series of Ruth, I want us to really speak God's word over the situations and circumstances that have created hurt in our lives. Folks, today we have the choice. Right now, like the story that I read a moment ago about the police officer's wife, like Joseph, we can make a choice to move on. So God gave me some, and has given me lots of practical ways of dealing with bitterness over my 49 years of living. And he's also given me some amazing, he's exceeded my expectations. Every time I've released something over to God, God's just taken me another step into his purpose and plan for my life. And I do thank God for the fact that I have a wonderful wife, two amazing children. I live in a fabulous place in the country, and I'm in a great church which is supportive, encouraging, and it desires to see lives people's changed. God's given me some practical ways, and the most practical way that God has given me is by returning always to his word. Because in here, folks, if we really believe in the power of God's words being spoken into situations, that it will take hold and it will do something. Just as it says in Isaiah 51, I'll speak my word out and it won't come back to me having not fulfilled something, not done something in someone's life, then actually, do you know what? This is the place to return to. So, I'm now going to not do any more talking. Well, I'll try not to. But what I'd like us to do is, I need your help. Are we all ready for some help? Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you. Are we ready to give James a bit of help here, folks? Fabulous. Okay, so you need your Bibles ready, okay? Because we're going to speak some powerful God's words over our lives, into situations and circumstances that have brought us and maybe are holding us back. Okay, so the first one is Ephesians 4. Are we ready? Because I was going to say you'll get a prize, but the prize will be that we'll wrap up quickly and we'll be able to go and get a coffee, okay? So Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. And when you've got it, shout, hello. Hello. Excellent. Thank you, Anne. Right, Anne, into the mic. Listen in.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you.
Okay, so there you go. Forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave us. Okay? Very clear about, he uses the word bitterness in there. Let's forgive each other. Let's forgive each other, forgive others, forgive ourselves when things have gone wrong. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, thanks. Right, oh gosh, Lord, here's one for you. Lord, like I said, I cannot do this in my own strength. I cannot do this in my own strength. I'm struggling here. Philippians 4. Let's hear those pages rustling. Philippians 4. Verse 13. Oh, well done. Well done, Jill. Jill Wilkinson. And it's me. Right, listening in. So, Lord, I can't do this. I'm struggling. I've got to hold on to my blanket. I can't let go of it. Okay? Go for it, Jill.
I can do all things through Christ, through him, who gives me strength. I was remembering it, really.
That's it.
Because it's a verse that I hold on to very dearly.
Thank you. Right, so we know that we don't have to do this in our own strength. Christ will strengthen us. Christ will do, for I can do everything, not some things, everything. Do we believe that Christ can do everything? Yeah. Even heal that hurt that someone 20, 30, 40 years ago might have said to us. Christ can deal with that. Because he's going to give us the strength. Okay. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Have we got? Oh, Phil Malin. Come on, guys, at the back. What's going on? You know, let's. Right, okay, Phil.
Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
God's grace, okay? Thank you, Phil. Are we getting some good stuff here, folks? Are we feeling that, you know, God's given us some opportunity to move on? Okay, James 1, 19 to 20.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's great. And finally, I listened to a great sermon a couple of weeks ago by an international speaker called Phil Pringle. And he was talking about taking offence. And it's easy to take offence, especially when you're having a bad day. Okay? But it's that offence that can really sort of just sort of drive you down into this pit and allow that root to take hold. Okay? And he shares a scripture of from Psalm 119, and it's verse 165.
Great peace have they which love thy Lord, and nothing shall offend them.
And nothing will offend them. Nothing will offend them. Thank you very much. And I'm just going to end up with a final picture that Jesus gives me about dealing with bitterness, okay? And Jesus gives us a real clear example of what we need, how the character of God, how we can deal with real life situations. Jesus has sent his disciples out for the first time on their ministry trip. It's going to go really well, but Jesus gives them some practical advice. Outside of you can step on scorpions, you can change, you know, you can transform people's lives, you can heal the sick, you can reveal the sight to the blind. Jesus knew that there was an absolute cast iron guarantee that they were going to get offended. Because Jesus had been told by his own village, as we know, and I'm paraphrasing here, you're the carpenter's son. What can you do? What can you do? So Jesus knew that there were going to be people who, if his disciples allowed to take on offence from the words that people would say, that was going to limit their ministry. And there was going to be enough things that were going to limit their ministry. So in Matthew 10, verse 40, Jesus says, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." Friends, I would encourage you this week, have a reflection. Say, "God, is there anything that I really need to just dust my feet off? It's gone. It's time to move on. Because where I'm moving, you're moving me to, Lord, is something so much greater, so much more powerful, and somewhere that you will use all those experiences, just like Joseph, all that time spent in prison, captive, held back. You're going to use that so that I can bring your grace, your love, and your forgiveness into the lives of those people I'm going to meet." Friends, there may be many distressing circumstances which we find ourselves in. And some of them may even be unjust, as they were in Joseph's life. However, as we have learned from the account of his life, by remaining faithful and accepting that God is ultimately in charge, we can be confident that God will reward our faithfulness in the fullness of time. Dust your feet off today. Dust your feet off. Meditate on the scriptures that we've talked about. Revisit the story of Joseph. Apply this to your lives this week and make that choice. Today, we have that opportunity. We can make a choice today to forgive ourselves and others, because just as God was with Joseph, he is with us today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to end in prayer. Father God, thank you that your word changes everything. It changes has changed our lives, and it changes how we can view situations that maybe in the past would have kept us back, held us back, limited us, and not allowed us to really enter into that fullness of knowing you. Father God, I thank you personally that you have done and started a work in my life through just reading again about the story of Joseph. And I pray in Jesus' name that what we've heard today will be the only root that takes hold in people's lives. And it will replace the hurts, the disappointments, and the injustice of comments, experiences, and the problems that we've encountered. And that we will, Lord, step into that abundant life that you promise and have given us through the life of Jesus. Amen.